So we are on, let's see, we are on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, and I will be sharing the screen with the Gemara so that people can have it there in front of them. It is, and two people just came into the waiting room, so I just got to let them in. Okay. So, yeah, we are on Ayin Hamad Aleph, and we are at the Bo Mineh, which is about 9 or 10 lines down. So, if you can see the screen share, where that is, Bo Mineh Merabi Avo, where the arrow is on the page. We just finished talking about how you clean out the wine press and the cistern in the wine press, areas that hold wine temporarily. So if you bought it off of somebody who wasn't Jewish and now wanted to be able to clean it / kosher it, so that you'd be able to use it, we talked about rinsing it out. We talked about drying it. We noted that really it's a combination of ash and water. We talked about how many times you have to expose it to the ash and the water. We had the debate between Rav and Shmuel, the debate in Sura versus in Pumbedisa, the different versions of it. Compared to what we had last week, this week's a breeze. The last week was, I think, a little challenging, but this week is actually pretty straightforward Gemara. We're going to talk about cleaning other parts of the wine press. That's our discussion. Other things that are used to process wine. And it's very interesting to read Tosfos as you go through this, because the Balei HaTosfos, the authors of the Tosfos, actually had this as a very practical issue in their day. And so they're not debating this intellectually. They're debating this practically. So, Bo Mineh Merabi Avohu. They asked Rabbi Avohu the following question. Hani Gorgi, or Gorni in the margin, Da'aramoi, Mai. The Gorgi of the Arameans. What about them? Again, the Gorgi just means a part of the wine press. Aramoi are the Arameans. I'm scrolling down on the page just to show you what Rashi says about the Gorgi here, if you see where the arrow is. Gorgi Akalim. Now, Akalim, Akel, is a term that we usually think of in terms of a press as the board that you put on top of olives or on top of grapes to press them down, but that's not the way that Rashi frames it here. Instead, it's a frame. He says, Akalim ubalaz ribosi. I didn't look at Old French to find out what ribosi are, but presumably it's some kind of a frame used in the wine press. The korchin osan sevivos hatafuach. What you do is you wrap these around the pile of grapes, shalo yispazru ha'anavim mikoved hakora, so that the grapes don't scatter when you press down with a beam on top of them. So that's what these gorgi are. They're a frame that went around the grapes in the wine press. I'm not going to read the rest of the Rashi because it's not directly relevant yet. It will become relevant shortly. But the question now is, I bought a wine press off of non-Jews, and I want to kosher it, and I need to clean the wine off of the surfaces. So the question is, what do I do with these gorgi, the frames that are around the grapes? My, what's the rule? Everyone clear? Okay. Amar le Rabbi Avohu. So Rabbi Avohu says, Tani Sua. He says, we already learned that. Haresha hayu gitav ubeis badav temeyin ubikesh lasosin betahara. Rabbi Avohu draws on a brisa, but it's important to understand the brisa that he's talking about. You could already see in the opening line, the key word here is temeyin. Meaning, he's dealing not with kashrus. He's dealing with tuma and tahara. You had a wine press, you were processing grapes to make wine, and then the wine press became tameh. So now the question is, I want to clean the wine press prior to dipping parts of the wine press in the mikvah. You follow? That's what's going on. I have my sample few faces that I can see while I'm in sharing screen mode, and I'm hoping that when they say that they understand. I've got two Allens and a Rabbi Grossman on here. So you're my Beis Din. If you say that everything is okay, then I assume everything is okay. If it's not,
the wine press we said is like this very large stone, right?
Well, no, it's a little bit of a receptacle, really, and it's got, you know, you put the pile of grapes on it, and then you crush the grapes, and that's the way, and then the wine runs down into a cistern. That's your,
okay,
that's
so
your setup.
Where I'm going with this, I'm assuming that the wine press is not something that's mechuba lekarka, otherwise it wouldn't be metame.
Right, correct. Now, that part of it is true. These parts that we're talking about evidently can become impure. Whether it's because somebody died in the wine press or because there was contact with some, you know, with someone who was tameh is not presented here in the Braisa. We did have the case of somebody falling in a while back. Theoretically, I suppose you could have tameh that way. But the Braisa does not get into the question of how this became tameh. It's a given that it can become tameh. So what we're taught here is that in the event that the gas or the beis habad, gas for wine, beis habad is the olive press, if they became tamei, ubikesh la'asosan b'tahara, and you are going to want to make them tahor, so what do you do for the different parts of your wine press? Hadapin v'ha'adashin v'halulavin. So we identify first three different implements. These are, as I put on the outline, on the source sheet, these are non-braided materials, meaning these are solid materials as opposed to materials that are braided out of fibers, which we get to next. So to clean these, dapin are boards. And the way that Rashi explains it is that these are the boards. Yes, Alan.
Is the concern about absorption by these materials?
So there's no concern of absorption. It's just cleaning it off the surface. The only time I'm worried about absorption will be something that's going to hold the wine for an extended period of time because the wine is cold. So it's just a matter of how do I clean the surface. So the dapin are the boards that you would place on the pile of grapes and then press them down in order to get the juice out of the grapes. Adashin is a little bit more complicated. Adashin, what is it? What are adashot in Hebrew?
Lentils, grasses.
Good, good. I heard both. So adashot or adashim, depending on how you do it, I suppose. Literally, if you go back into Tanakh, is a reference to lentils, right? Lechem unizid adashim. The lentil soup that Yaakov prepares. However, in modern Hebrew, we use that term for lenses. It's the same term, and it's because of the shape. That's the idea. It's sort of this bean shape. So here, adashin has to be something that is bean shaped. Rashi thinks this is the press itself. Ramban says it can't be the press because if it's the press, then the advice we're about to give for how to clean it is going to contradict what we just did last week when we talked about how to clean a press. So Ramban says that can't be what we're talking about here. Rather, he says, it's a pool that actually has an independent milling space. In other words, if I want, I'm going to stop share so I can see people and make sure that they're getting it. If I want to press grapes to get wine out of them, so initially, I can pile them up, put a board on top of it, and squeeze out the juice, right? That will be the simple initial way to get the juice out of the grapes and make and turn it into wine. However, if I'm pressed, not probably wrong word, fine. If I need more juice and not enough comes out, then I might take an additional step. And that is to actually grind up the grapes in order to get the last liquid out of them. The same thing is with the olives, right? We talk about that with olives also. The Gemara Menachos talks about how there are multiple steps for getting olive oil out of olives. You have your initial stage with the water, with the oil that comes out. Then you pound it, and then I'm sorry, you squeeze it, and then you're increasingly violent towards the olives in order to get oil out. So the same thing is true when it comes to getting juice out of the grapes. So Ramban says that they actually had a sort of pool in which they would mill the grapes that remained after you pressed them, and then you'd catch the juice. And Ramban says that's what adashim are. It's this little pool that you mill them in, and the Meiri sides with the Ramban. So what you have is a machlokas about what these adashim are. Either Rashi says it's the press itself, and we're going to talk about how to clean it, and it's going to disagree with what we just said before, last week, about how to clean a press. Or, according to Ramban and Meiri, it's a little pool that holds the grapes. Either way, I'm going to go back to the Gemara. Okay, it'll show up on your screen in a moment. Hadapin, the boards you put on the grapes. The adashin, which are either the receptacle that holds the grapes while you mill them, or it's talking about the press itself. Veha lulavin. What are lulavin?
the word escapes.
What's a lulav? I
mean, obviously a lulav.
So,
the palm things.
Right. So what it is actually...
Palm fronds.
I'm sorry?
Palm fronds.
So Brian says...
It's a broom.
So what it actually is a broom.
Okay.
It's a broom. If you see where I just scrolled down to on the page, halulavin, in the Rashi, tatisa, that means something that you use to sweep. Shemechabed baha anavim hamispazrin leosfan. You use to sweep up the grapes that have scattered. Happens to be that we use palm branches in order to sweep things. But the term lulav is a term that we throw on the palm branch that the Torah tells us to use. In other words, if you look in Parshas Emor, right? We didn't read Emor all that long ago. Ulkachtem lachem bayom harishon, pri eitz hadar, kapot timarim, anaf eitz avot, etc. Kapot timarim is the Torah's term for what we call a lulav. But in the lulav, it doesn't inherently mean palm branch. Lulav means this kind of branch-based broom. So, again, you bought this wine press off of someone who wasn't Jewish. He had non-kosher wine throughout. You want to now clean the implements in order to be able to, in this case, well, he's dealing with a tame one. You want to be able to be metaharet, to make it tahor. What do you do with your boards? What do you do with your adashim? What do you do with your brooms? Madichan. He says, all you have to do for all of these is rinse them off. That's it. Just rinse it. The wine comes right off. And now you can dip it in the mikvah to make it tahor. Next step, v'ha akalin shel nitzarin v'shel bitzbutz. The akalin. So the term akalin, or akel, is a reference to the frame materials that we're talking about. In other words, this is why Rabbi Yavao brought to the Brisa this word. Because remember what our question was. The gorgi, which are the frames that hold the grapes in. Hang on one second. I'm getting a message that my speaker isn't working. Is that the question that we had initially was these gorgi. How am I supposed to make these gorgi able to, how am I supposed to clean the gorgi, I should say? We said the gorgi were the frames. And now we get to the part of the Braisa that actually reflects the gorgi. Because these akalin that we have here in the Gemara are frames. That's what they are. But these frames are made out of braided materials. And because they're made out of braided materials, it's not as easy to clean them of the wine, because the wine can get stuck in them. So akalin shel nitzarin, that are made of branches, or vishel bitzbutz. Now, if you look in the margin, they tell you bitzbutz is like the word butz, which means pishtan, which means flax. So they had flax that was braided together to make these frames. Minagvan. So he says you dry them. When he says dry them, he means what we said last week, which means you apply ash to the surface first, and then you rinse off the ash. Vishal shifa, vishal gemi. If they're made of different kinds of reeds, miyashnan yudbeis chodesh. You age them for 12 months. That's a period of time in which any wine that was on the surface gets dried out, and now they'll be clean. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, manichan migas legas. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, You have to leave them be from one pressing of the grapes to the next, or if you're dealing with olives, umibad libad, from one pressing of the olives to the next. So the Gemara pauses this brisa and asks the question, Hainu Tanakama, what's the difference between Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, who says from one pressing to the next, and the Tanakama, the first view, which was 12 months? What's the difference between 12 months and one pressing to the next? Presumably you're on a calendar year basis. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara asks, Hainu Tanakama, Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel is the same as the Tanakama? No. Ika beinayu churfi ve'afli. There is a difference. The difference is churfi. Churfi means when they ripen early, and afli means when they ripen late. So, in other words, you could have one year in which the grapes take a long time to ripen, and therefore you don't get to press them until the end of the season, sometime in the fall. And you'll have some years when they'll actually ripen earlier, in which case you'll be pressing them earlier. According to the Tanakama, doesn't matter. 12 months is the period of time that you have to age it. According to Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, it's not so. As long as you've gone through a cycle, you're okay. That's the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel ben Gamliel. The Rashba says on this that we paskin like the Tanakama. He makes an important point of methodology here. Something that people don't always catch, and I'm just going to pull up the Rashba because I think it's worth seeing it in the Rashba. So it's going to pop up on your screen in a moment. Do you see that? Do you see the Rashba here?
Yeah.
Instead of the Gemara? Okay. So the Rashba on this says, just to move that down. Yeah. Ika benayu charfi va'afli. The part that I'm now highlighting. He says, V'kaima lan kitanakama. We follow the Tanakama, the first view. De'ba'inan yud beis chodesh shleimim, that you need 12 full months. De'les hilchasa k'rabit shimim begamliel, ela b'mishnasenu. Because the law only follows Rabbi Shimon begamliel in a mishnah. Vizu braisahi. This is a braisa. In other words, we have a rule. You always follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in a Mishnah, except for three cases when he loses a machlokas that's in a Mishnah. However, once you get into a braisa, that's not so. In braisas, all bets are off. And we're actually going to follow the Tanakama. Why that's so, I don't know. I don't know why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is so powerful in Mishnayos and not in braisos. I do know that he's Mishpacha of Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who canonized the Mishnah. But I don't know that that has anything to do with this. But it's an interesting point that the Rashba is making. So we will say you need 12 complete months. Got it? Are we clear? I've got my Beis Din here. My Beis Din is actually Alan Litwack. You dropped off my Beis Din. Thomas Lupus is now in your place. So I've got Alan Steinfeld, Rabbi Grossman, and Thomas Lupus are my Beis Din. If you say, good, if you say we're on, then we're on. So when it comes to the braided materials, if they're made out of reeds, 12 months. Rabbi Yossi says, how in the world are you going to do business that way? You want to be metaher your wine press. You want to be metaher your olive press to produce pure olive oil, pure wine. You're going to wait 12 months? He says, I got an answer for you. We're now at the top of the screen. If you see Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi Omer Harotza Lataharon Miyad. He says, if you want to make it Tahor right away, I've got a solution for you. Mag'ilan biroschin, ocholtan bimezesim. He says, either do hag'ala in boiling water. That's one solution. Not apparently as a koshering thing. It's not a koshering thing. It's a cleaning mechanism. Ocholtan bimezesim, or you could be cholate them in olive water. What exactly does that mean? So the term chalata is a term that we usually use in relation to one of the menachos, one of the types of menachos, of flour offerings in the Beis Hamikdash, is a type of flour offering in which you have very, very, very hot water. And then you pour the flour onto the hot water. And because the layer of flour is very thin, it gets scalded right away. That's chalata, is to scald the flour by putting it into the water that's already very, very hot. One of the menachos is called soles morbeches. And we say soles morbeches is that type of a treatment. The idea is, it's sort of a wet equivalent of searing something, right? You think of searing something in a very hot pan. So that's what you're doing with water. We have another term, which Rashi's going to invoke, that's similar to this, I believe, and that's called meliga. And that's something that shows up, actually, Rabbi Grossman, we were talking about ksuvos before, shows up in Maseches Ksuvos. We talk about types of property that are shared by a husband and wife in a marriage. And there are two different types of property. Sorry? Correct. There's Nichsei Tzonu Barzel, or Tzon Barzel, and there's Nichsei Malog. So Nichsei Malog is like Meliga, which Rashi is going to invoke here, because Meliga is a term for what they used to do, maybe they still do for all I know, for a bird to remove the feathers quickly after they've already shechted it, they're processing the bird. So they dip it into very hot water and it helps to remove the feathers. And the idea with the Nichsei Malog is because that's the property you lose, like the feathers, from the marriage.
It opens the pores so they come out easier?
I guess so. I have to admit, I'm falling short on the science this week. I did not investigate how it is that Maliga works to loosen the feathers. It's sort of a cliche for our Gemara, because it really has nothing to do with the Gemara directly. But it's a Rashi from a Tosefta on another edition of our Gemara. Yes, I felt like I'm Potter from looking that up, but maybe it opens the pores. Why not? That's a good explanation. The point for us is that both the chalata process that we describe here and the maliga process, which Rashi is about to invoke, involve exposing the press to very, very, very hot water, and that is supposed to clean off the wine so that you don't need to wait 12 months. It's not the press, it's the frame. That these braided materials that you used as a frame within the press. I'm going to go back to sharing the screen so I can show you the Rashi that I'm talking about. The Rashi is at the bottom of the Yamud. So if you see here, Hachi Garsinan Bitosefta. It's five lines up from the bottom in the Rashi. He says, Hachi Garsinan Bitosefta, this is the addition we have in a Tosefta, instead of saying what we had in our Gemara, which was Hagala in boiling water, or Chalata in olive water, he has Choltan Berotchen, you do Chalata in boiling water, or Molgan B'mezesim, or you do Maliga in olive water. Now, we have yet to explain what olive water is. What's olive water? So he explains, Derech Levashel Zesim Liyos Rakin, Lotzi Shumnan. He says what they would do is they would boil the olives before trying to press them to get rid of the oil. Because you know what raw olives are like. They're very hard. And they can be dry. So they would boil them up first, and that would help you to get the oil out of the olives. So you would actually use the olive water. It was already boiled up in order to clean the wine. Or oil, I suppose, that it was tamei off of the pieces of the frames. That's what he seems to be suggesting here. Are we clear?
I'm losing something. Is the inyan here tuma or like
So the issue here is cleaning it prior to taking it to the mikvah. But the brisa overall is a tuma related brisa. That's correct.
Why the 12 months? Like, why is there? I'm thinking kashers, right? So tuma has nothing to do with 12 months.
Correct. So the answer seems to be that the drying that what you're doing by waiting 12 months is actually you're drying it out. That seems to be the goal of the 12 months. We're going to come back to that in a Rashba below, but that seems to be the idea. Is that
my understanding is that this is a two-stage process. First, we clean it, and then we take it to the mikvah to take out the
That's
tumor from it.
That is correct.
So it's not a straightforward process.
That is correct.
The 12 months, I don't know, but drying it, and that's part of the cleaning, most probably.
So the idea is that it dries it out so that it either becomes insignificant or it's very easy to remove. I'm just going to show you, if you watch the screen, I'm calling up the Rambam for you on this so that you'll see what I'm talking about. The Rambam writes, if you see it on your screen, Hadorech Betuma, I have to be able to move the controls in order to be able to make this larger. It's probably a little small on your screen. Can people read it? The problem is I have the controls sitting at the top. I need to shift them. I don't want to hide the meeting controls because then I need them. But all right, for now I'll do it. Now I can make this larger. Hang on 1 second. Oh, you know what? I have like 30 windows of texts open, so it's going to try to change all of them. It's going to take a second. I'm going to read it to you while it's waiting. Oh, there it goes. Hadorech betuma. If you have a press and you are trampling the grapes or the olives, bituma, v'rotza letaher clay base habad, v'ha'ekel min hamashkena tmeyin, and you want to purify the vessels of the press or the frame from hamashkena tmeyin, from the tame liquid, shenivlu uban, which is absorbed in them, ketzad yaseh, what do you do? And when he says absorbed, don't think hagala, absorption. That's not what he's saying. So if it's made out of wood, made out of stone, it's a flat, straight material, just rinse it. That was what we said. If it's made of boards, just wipe it. If it's made of reeds, and now you get to the braided materials, age it 12 months, or you scald it in hot water or olive water. And then he goes through the next piece, which we didn't get to yet, the next mechanism that Bryce is going to recommend. Jumping to the end of the line, v'acher kach matbil es hakelim shetzvichen tevila, and then afterwards, anything that needs to go to mikvah, you'll dip it in the mikvah, u'mishtamesh ben betahara, and then you'll be able to use it betahara. So that's what he's telling you. Cleaning it first, and then mikvah. Okay. So going...
Is there any significance to the fact that they stress olive water as opposed to any other water?
So I think that was what Rashi was trying to tell us, that it's not. It happens to be they used to heat up water like this for olives, so it's called olive water. But that's the, I think that's what Rashi was trying to explain to us. Other questions? Okay. So back in the Gemara, we are now at we just completed method number 2 for the frames that are made of reeds. Either age them 12 months or scald them. And now we get one other approach, which is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel quoted Rabbi Yossi as saying, Manichan tachas tzinor shemeimav mikalchin. Put them under a pipe that has water flowing from it. O b'ma'ayan shemeimav rodfin. Or in a spring where the waters are racing. And that way it'll clean them off. Vikama. How long do you have to wait while it's under the water? Ona. An ona. That's what you have to say. What is an ona? So the Gemara is going to ask that question. We have another 4 lines to go, and then we'll find out. But for a period of time, called an ona. Kederech sha'amru b'yayin nesech, kach amru b'taharos. The Braisa concludes by saying, just like we said, for yayin nesech, just like the rules for yayin nesech, so it is for tuma and tahara. So the Gemara says, wait, back up. This Braisa wasn't about Yayin Nesech. The Braisa was about Tumah and Tahara. We spent a lot of time clarifying that. So the Gemara says, Klap Elaya. Literally, which way are you facing? What are you talking about? B'Taharos Kaiminan. We were talking about Taharos. Ella, you're right. We got it backwards. Kederech Sha'amru B'Taharos, just like for Taharos, these are the rules. Kach Amru B'Yayin Nesech. So too when it comes to Yayin Nesech. Therefore, going back to our point, we asked, what do you do for these gorgi or gorni, these frames? The answer is that which is recommended in this brisa. The Gemara now asks, our third approach for the braided frames was leave it under rushing water for an ona. Kama ona. How much is an ona? So we know the halacha of ona from elsewhere. One halacha of ona has to do with tashmish, the requirement for a husband to be with his wife every X period of time. That's not the ona that's being described here. The ona that is described here, though, has another place in halacha, and that's in the laws of nida. But first, let's see the Gemara here. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba quotes Rabbi Yochanan to say, O yom, O laila, either a day or a night. That's what is an ona. Rabbi Chana she'ina, va'amila Rabbi Chana bar she'ina, ama Rabba bar bar Chana, am Rabbi Yochanan, either Rabbi Chana she'ina or Rabbi Chana bar she'ina, quoting Rabba bar Chana, quoting Rabbi Yochanan. They makes the statement that chatzi yom v'chatzi laila. Now, this seems to be a machlokes, right? First we said a day or a night. Now we say half a day or half a night. So, which is it? What is the definition of an ona?
Other than two times a year, the day and the night are not equivalent.
Correct.
So, when it says or a day or a night, you could be talking about different amounts of time.
Correct. So, wait one more line and you will have your answer. You are 100% correct. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak is not tackling your problem, but he ends up answering it. He is tackling a different problem. He's trying to explain that actually, velo pligi, the two views here, day or night, and half day or half night, are actually not in disagreement with each other. It all depends on your time of year. Ha betkufas Nisan v'Tishrei, ha betkufas Tammuz v'Teves. One is talking about during Nisan and Tishrei, the other one is talking about in Tammuz and Teves. And what we mean by that is that during the time of Nisan and Tishrei, right, vernal equinox and autumnal equinox, day and night are, hang on one second, I have to get my controls back there. There we go. At the time of the vernal equinox, at the time of the autumnal equinox, day and night are equal. So when day and night are equal, that means it's going to be a 12-hour period. Tammuz and Teves are the two other extremes, the solstice times. And at the solstice times, the summer solstice and the winter solstice, now they're going to have extremes. Either winter solstice, day is very short, night is very long, or summer solstice, day is very long, and night is very short. And at that point, that's the half. So in other words, it's if I'm working my way around the year, at the summer solstice, we mean half a day. Vernal equinox, we mean a day. Winter solstice, we mean half a night. What was I left with? Vernal equinox, we mean a night or a day. It doesn't make a difference. The point is, it's always 12 hours. That's what we're accomplishing here.
So yeah. Use the pun, but at the end of the day, it's 12 hours. Why not just say 12 hours?
So, in a chanami, you could have, but this is a lot more fun. I can give you an answer for why we did it this way, but just to show you, I'll go back to sharing the Gemara with you, because Rashi basically says what you're saying.
Or why does the Gemara default to Shor Zmanios, which is usually what we do?
Well, Shor Zmanios don't help you. Shor Zmanios are a problem. I'm just showing you Rashi here to go back to Alan's point. One line up from the bottom in Rashi, the Yud Beis Shor Shlemos Ba'inan. What we need are 12 complete hours. So that's really what we're looking for. Shor Zmanios are not helpful because Shor Zmanios vary in length based on the time of year. Right? I don't want Shor Zmanios. Right. I want 12 hours. So just the opposite. But to answer Alan's question, why is it that we need to do it this way? Why don't you just say 12 hours and be done with it? So I think the answer may be because it also teaches me the law of Ona. The law of Ona comes up in a very different context than the laws of Nida. Nida Samach Gimel Amid Beis talks about what's called Ona Hasmucha Leveses. You know that a man is not allowed to be with his wife at a time when she is a Nida. When she anticipates that she's going to become a Nida, they are off limits to each other. So if a woman has a fixed time, she knows that either, you know, every X period of time she bleeds, or she knows that after certain events take place, she bleeds. She has established a pattern that this happens. That's called a veses. And in the period of time before that, they are now prohibited to each other. How long are they prohibited to each other? The ona that is right before the veses. Ona hasmucha leveses is the terminology that we use in the Gemara. So there is a view. It's an author. The author of the view is known as the Avi Yosef, who says, ona hasmucha leveses, this ona period is just like our Gemara here. It's 12 hours. So therefore, our Gemara has taught us, not only for this purpose, but in general, that ona is a 12-hour is a 12-hour period. Okay. So the upshot for us is that we now know how to clean the frames in the wine press. It's 8:13. I want to go a little further with this. The won't get to everything I wanted to, because, you know, why should today be any different? But this is good. This is the way we're learning. We'll do a little bit more here in the Gemara. We are five lines up from the bottom, end of the line. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Hani Ravki de Aramoi. Ravki is a sieve that they use to filter out the wine from the grapes. You put the grapes in and the wine filters out. So if you have these filters from non-Jews, and they're made out of fibers, fine fibers. So demazia, if they're made out of mazia, mazia is human hair. And Rashi says it's not that absorbent. So madichan, just rinse it. Deimra, if they're made out of wool, menagvan, then dry it, meaning the ash and rinse process. Dekisna, if they're made out of linen, if they're made out of flax, really, miyashna, and then you let it sit for a year. The ika kitri, shari lahu. And if there are any knots, you have to untie them. See, here I come back to the point that we made before about how the 12-month thing works. The Ravid says that when it says here, if there are knots, you have to untie the knots, he says that's true whether it's human hair, whether it's wool, whether it's flax, you have to untie it in order to help it dry out. But the Rashba says no. He says the need to untie it is only if you're doing the human hair one or the wool one. But if you're letting it sit for a year, it's going to dry out no matter what, whether you untie the knots or not. And that's my basis, Simi, for saying that the drying, that the 12 months is a drying out process. That's the Rashba's statement. So he says, all you have to do is let it sit for a year. But these other methods, if you're rinsing it, if you're drying it, you have to untie the knots. One more type of a kli. Hani dekuli v'chalasa de'aramoi. Dekuli and chalasa are reed baskets. So again, reed baskets used in the wine press. Dechiti, if they are, I'm sorry, dechaiti, I should say. Dechaiti, if they are sewn together, bechavle ditsuri, using palm branches, ditsuri is like nitsarim, branches, madichan, then you rinse them. Whereas, flipping over the page onto Ayin Hei Amud Beis, ditsavsa, if they are made out of reeds, lenagvan, then you have to dry it, the ash and rinse process. Dekisna, if they're made out of flax, miyashnan, then age them 12 months, and once again, ve'i'is behu kitri, if they have knots, shari lahu, then untie the knots. Now, what's particularly interesting here, and God willing, we'll pick up with this in 2 weeks, because again, next Sunday evening, my Beit Midrash has a learn-a-thon, a pre-Shavuos learn-a-thon from 7 to 10. I'll make sure to send out the flyer and all that, but we won't have the Avodah Zarah shiur Sunday evening. We'll have the pre-Shavuos shiurim instead. So I'll do this in 2 weeks. But what I want to come back to is the point here about these materials made out of fibers and the need to untie the knots and the question of how exactly you can clean them, because this comes up in terms of Pesach. A person has a tablecloth that they used all year long. It's made out of fibers. They want to use it for Pesach. How exactly do you clean your tablecloth? Does it matter if it absorbed things that were cold versus some hot food fell on it? What exactly do you do? So that is based on a Tosfos on our Gemara. Those who want to look ahead, it's the Tosfos on Ayin Hey Amud Beis at the top. The Tosfos to Kisna. So God willing, we'll come back to that last week. But what we picked up this week is a little more knowledge for those wine presses that we're planning on picking up. The frames, the non-braided materials, the braided materials, a little bit about what an ona is, and fibrous kalim in the wine press. So in 2 weeks, God willing, we'll pick up with that. Next week again is the learn-a-thon. Okay?
What do you mean by 2 weeks?
Because next Sunday night is the learn-a-thon, so it'll be 2 weeks.
Yeah, but after that is Shavuot.
Shavuot isn't on a Sunday. Shavuot is Friday Shabbos.
Oh.
But Tommy holds 3 days.
Oh, yeah, that I can't help with.